Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to our second hour. We are speaking with Ken Rolla about Ormus Organite, the various effects that this has upon us, and of course how this is beneficial to our health, and then the bigger picture of how it works, but also how this has been suppressed pretty much. And one of the big tie-ins here, obviously, is how this could be used in other, well, inventions in other aspects of our lives. And we kind of alluded to a little bit earlier that this connects with pretty much free energy. And specifically, you've kind of worked with this as well, Ken. I wanted to ask you more about this. You worked with Yul Brown from, people might know Brown's gas or HHO gas and everything. And I don't know if this necessarily fits into the scalar aspect to it, but there is an area here of free energy where this kind of work seems to go hand in hand. So health and free energy seems kind of bizarre, but it's there. The connection is there.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many different applications for these superconducting Ormus elements and scalar energy, free energy, health, agriculture, communication, space travel, all kinds of stuff. And so absolutely, yeah. Yul Brown, I worked with him back in the early 90s when he had developed water fuel technology. He actually started back in the 60s. It's really, the start of it really occurred back in the 1800s, but the modern incarnation of water fuel with HHO really started with a man in Arizona that developed it, William Rhodes. He developed it, and I guess he knew that that if he brought it out as a fuel source, that he would probably be squashed. So he brought it out as a water welder. And to this day, I forget the name of the company, but you can still see that water welder is still being sold, manufactured from Arizona. So William Rhodes developed this technology, and then around about the same time in the 60s, a man named Andrea Puharich and Yul Brown both, I believe, discovered this. And
Puharich was in there, huh? With that, that's interesting. Yeah, we've
talked about him in the past. He's got his hands in all kinds of interesting things. he was a brilliant guy.
Sure.
He worked a lot with scalar energy. As a matter of fact, the stress shield device I have, which is a portable stress relief device, it's very similar to Puharich's Tesla watch. He developed the Tesla watch, among other things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Brown and Puharich were, they started working on water fuel back in the 60s and figured it out. In the 70s, they came out with water fuel engines and vehicles, and of course were heavily attacked. And then Stanley Meyer and others came out with water fuel technology later in the 80s, and Mount Meyer was assassinated because he actually got so far as to get a multi-million dollar contract with the U.S. military to power vehicles with water fuel. And so he was killed within minutes of signing the contract for that.
And the military couldn't aid him in that, I guess, huh?
I guess at certain levels, it's like even in the military, I guess they do what they're told, but I don't know the specifics of it, but I just know he, within minutes of signing the contract, he was poisoned and dead, according to his brother. So Brown, I met up with Brown in the early 90s, and by that time he had it pretty well developed, and he was working with this other guy who was a promoter, and I won't mention his name because he's still around. Yul Brown died in, I think, 1999, and I think he was probably assassinated. That's what I hear from some friends that worked with him as well. But at any rate, Stanley Meyer was killed. Andrea Puharich was actually, I think, friends of the Rockefellers, and so he was warned not to develop his, and so he didn't because he knew the consequences. But pretty much everybody who's worked on this technology has either been killed or silenced.
Seems like it. Yeah.
So I'm working with Brown in the early 90s, and the guy who he was working with that was getting funding and doing the marketing on the device, I had a friend who was working with that man in his office very closely, and we realized after a while that this guy was a government mind control subject, because he would go into a special room and God would tell him what to do, and he would make decisions for the company based on what God was telling him to do. And he posed himself as a Christian and attracted a lot of inventors. And this was something that was very interesting. He attracted a lot of inventors of various types of free energy technologies and environmentally friendly products. And because, you know, he espoused to be this, you know, loving Christian person when actually he was a mind control subject. And so ultimately everything that came along got thwarted and stopped and sabotaged. And Brown's device, well, he had several attempts on his life. And finally he went to China. And the Chinese actually produced about 2,000 of these water fuel generators. And then a few of the people who were his distributors, he had a network of about 2,000 distributors just waiting to release this stuff. And some of them were, you know, well-funded. And so some of them, after Brown passed away, they came out with literally the exact same device and claimed that it was theirs. But at any rate, when they got these 2,000 machines developed in China, they knew that they couldn't market them as free energy devices, so they marketed them as welders once again. Huh. And and you can see YouTube videos of this. If you search on Brown's Gas or HHO, you'll see videos of this welder. And it what it does is it brings what most scientists are calling zero point energy into the reaction during the burning process. And zero point energy is simply scalar energy coming from other dimensions of time and space that comes in through the subatomic structure of the material when you're whatever you're working with. And in the case of this gas, it's a fourth phase of water, and when you burn it, it burns with a blue flame and it can develop extremely high levels of energy and heat. And yet you can pass your hand through it very quickly and it feels cold. And when it burns, it has water as the exhaust. So when it's burning, you'll see water dripping off of it. And you can neutralize nuclear radiation with it, or nuclear radioactivity in nuclear materials, simply by burning them, because it reacts at the subatomic level and it will rearrange the matter at the subatomic level. So you can take radioactive elements, make them non-radioactive. You can weld anything to anything. I had one of these machines for a couple of weeks, and you could weld plastic to metal or glass to wood or just anything to anything, you know. It's really interesting stuff, and do it very easily too. It would sublimate tungsten very easily and very quickly, which, you know, under normal welding conditions is very hard to do. So it had all these amazing quantum properties, and it's because this form of water, when it was burned, it brought this scalar energy into the process. And so Stanley Myers' brother, well, Stanley Myers' implementation of it, I think, was the best, because he could take any kind of water, polluted water, muddy water, seawater, anything, and he could run it through this pulse electrolysis process of the Brown's gas generator. And it would pull the H2O out and rearrange it and make it HHO, and it would be a gas, and then it would leave behind all of the pollutants. And then the cool thing is you could take a torch and run it off the HHO and burn the pollutants, and it would make them non-toxic, because it would do alchemy on them. It would rearrange them and make them non-toxic. So it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
And so when all that, you know, Brown got squashed, and after a bunch of years, and then Stanley Meyer got killed, and so it all kind of went underground, and you can still see YouTube videos of people making it and playing with it. But normally electrolysis takes more energy going into it. Conventional electrolysis takes more energy going into it than what you get out of it.
Right.
But William Rhodes figured out if you pulse electricity at very specific frequencies into the water inside of metal tubes of very specific diameters and lengths, you develop resonance, which creates explosive force, which will break the atomic bonds of the H2O, and then you get the oxygen and hydrogen in this different form with very little energy, because it's bringing energy in from other dimensions of time and space. So it doesn't break any laws of physics, And this is where conventional scientists get caught up with these types of fuels that they say, oh, it's impossible, it can't work because it's over unity. Well, it's not over unity. It's bringing in scalar energy from other dimensions. And conventional physics can't contemplate multidimensionality in its concepts.
Let me ask you something that a little bit more esoteric on top of this, but it's impossible for you or I think anyone to know this maybe at this stage, but do we know what the... I mean, everything in the universe has a reaction to what we do. It's an effect, you know, and cause and effect, stimulus response, if you will. Do we know what the reaction is when we actually tap into these other dimensions and we, let's say, we take something out from there, or you know, we take some of the energy from there and get it into our world, if you will? Have you ever thought about this at all?
That's a really... Oh, yeah. Actually, I made a mathematical model for it back in college. It was completely poo-pooed by my professors. Yeah, I have thought about it because the concept of a black hole, you know, back in the 80s, when I was in college, I was studying black holes and studying Hawking's work. And so much of it didn't make sense. I could see he didn't get the whole picture of what was going on. It's like, well, yeah, you know, they claim that these black holes are sucking all light and energy into them and, you know, with no return. But then the scientists also discover these white holes that are out in the universe where energy is coming in. And so what I realized was that you've got this, you've got these portals to these other dimensions of space-time that you know, are black holes and white holes. So you've got these funnel vortexes, which is exactly what scalar energy is, that they're spiraling vortexes of superluminal light going out of the out of 3D reality, which we call black holes or dark energy. But you've also got the opposite, where they're funneling energy in. And so I think the law of conservation of matter and energy, which says you cannot create or destroy energy, is not being broken by bringing in this scalar energy from other dimensions or zero point energy from other dimensions, because mm-hmm. you may be tapping into these other dimensions and pulling energy out, but at the same time, energy is going back in from these other portals. And so I don't think ultimately that anything's going on other than cycling energy from one form to another, which is really how the whole universe works. If you look at all of our power systems, we're not creating energy, we're just changing it from one form to another.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I think that's what's going on. And I actually came up with a mathematical model for it in college, and I presented it to my physics professor and the chairman of the department at Arizona State. And they looked at me and said, "Why do you care about this? You should be worried about getting an A on your lab." Like, oh, okay, I can see. This is like a lost cause. It wasn't until years later when I met Linus Pauling. And, it was such a treat to meet him. And I brought the paper with me and showed it to him. And, for the first time ever, a scientist validated, and he said, "My God, this is brilliant. You should pursue this." And it was like getting hit by a bolt of lightning. It's like, whoa, my God, there's actually scientists out there who can see the possibilities in this. And of course it took somebody like Linus Pauling.
Well, exactly.
To see that.
Yeah. Different caliber altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. But it made me realize, you know, if I'd have gone to an Ivy League school, I might have gotten somewhere with it, but then I'd probably be working for some alphabet agency of a government somewhere, or else be dead or something. So it's probably good it worked out the way it did.
Stuck behind a desk somewhere doing meaningless jobs. Sometimes yeah. It feels like that. They take in all these people, or those who are willing to work with them at least. They take in all these people, but they put them on these, you know, pathetic, ridiculous projects, and none of their work really is pursued unless it's something that they really want to develop for themselves and keep for themselves, of course. But, you know, it's like they suck in all this knowledge, but they make, you know, hardly anything of it, you know?
Well, that happens quite a lot, actually, because I've met some of these people who get pulled into these black projects, and sometimes it's against their will. But yeah, they're offered huge amounts of money and all kinds of perks and stuff. And it's like the alternative is, you know, torment and death or some type of suppression, or, you know, get paid a lot of money and work in a secret government facility with all kinds of amazing stuff that nobody knows about. So yeah, a lot of them choose that path, unfortunately. And that's why, you know, you don't hear about it. But it's hard for people to believe that a lot of times. But when you work at these levels, when you're dealing with these kinds of technologies, that's common knowledge. You see that a lot. And so, it's definitely true.
Very good, Ken. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about, we talked in the break here a little bit about garden shot. There's a different plants that could be used to reverse certain effects. And it kind of ties into what you talked about earlier with, you can basically do things that are beneficial to your plants to reverse, GMO effects and everything else and growing basically nutrient-dense, food and everything else. But tell us about garden shot and what that is.
Well, probably 4 years ago, I went to an Ormus conference and met these guys who had developed this plant food that they called Garden Shot. Their website is gardenshot.com, S-H-O-T. And lately, their website's been up and down, so I don't know what's going on there. But they had some really amazing results they were getting with this stuff. And what they had a property somewhere in Idaho where these different rivers and streams kind of met and deposited all of this high Ormus mineral material along with organic plant material. And then they mixed it with bat guano, and I don't know what all they did to it, but they developed this really high Ormus plant food. And when they fed it to GMO and hybrid plants, it would revert them back to the original heirlooms. So it would literally revert hybrid or GMO DNA back to heirlooms. And I saw that immediately and went, oh my God, this is the solution for radiation damage in people. Because if these Ormus elements will do that in plants, surely they'll do it in people or any living organism. And so, of course, they didn't advertise that because I guess they knew not to. But it's an amazing product. And in the last few months, their website's been down and I haven't been able to find them. So I thought, well, somebody else out there has got to be doing this. So I'll just keep my eyes peeled. And sure enough, wouldn't you know it, one comes along. There's another one now. And it's not even being sold as a plant food or having anything to do with plants. It's being sold as a parasite cleanse. But apparently, I haven't verified if it's actually an Ormus product, but it sure sounds like it from the results that have the yields. But basically, if you go to the website restandrepair.com, there's a product called Microbe Blast. And, if you ingest it, it will clear parasites and pathogens extremely well. And that I have verification on because I had a fellow who was using it get tested. And the person that tested him said she had never seen the level of the lack of parasites and pathogens in this guy's body. So it works really well for that.
Interesting.
But apparently it was originally developed for agriculture and it can be fed to plants and it will do the same thing. It will revert hybrids and GMOs back to the original heirlooms. And so, for example, they fed it to sweet corn and the corn reverted back to the unsweet heirloom variety. So there's always a solution. I've said this over and over again, and it's true. There's always a solution when you understand how consciousness manifests into reality. So I'm going to be playing with that and see what all it will really do. But
see what comes out of it.
But people can do this. Yep. Yeah, and people can do the same things. You can take rock powders and ferment them and make your own Ormus supplements and feed them to plants and do these same things. So, the solution is a simple one.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit about what John Hutchison was doing as well. With he was going outside and taking these various rocks and minerals and crushing them up to get energetic effects, basically immeasurable things that he played around with. And it seems to be something in geology and some with molecular science and as you've been talking about monoatomic materials that have the capability of producing things that we are that yet is largely unknown in the official world anyway, but with the right combination of chemistry and molecules basically and different elements, there is some pretty amazing stuff that could be done. I think that this is a huge untapped resource, if you will, Ken.
Absolutely, it is. What you're really dealing with is interdimensional physics, and conventional physics doesn't acknowledge the existence of other domains of reality. I mean, to a certain theory, you know, you've got some of these astronomers like Hawking, you know, talking about black holes and multiple dimensions of space-time, but nobody's really looking at it and understanding. I mean, I say nobody. There are, but they're cutting sure. edge and they're poo-pooed by the mainstream.
Yeah.
But, you know, I realized, for example, when I was in engineering school, I always wondered, why the hell are they teaching us about imaginary numbers, you know, like square root of minus one? You learn all this stuff about imaginary numbers, and then you throw it away and you never use it again. Well, now I understand that all those imaginary numbers, what they really are describing interdimensional physics. And so when you start getting that and seeing that kind of stuff, and if you have a background in science, you can do some amazing things. And ultimately, the physics and the mathematics may be complicated, but the actual creation of these solutions is not complicated.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it, or at least anybody who's mechanically inclined for some of this stuff. So that's the cool thing.
Well, it is cool. And I wonder as well, Ken, if there's other things that need to unlock. I mean, you earlier talked about when the health effects come you know, with you, you know, when you work on your health rather and try to get healthy and well, you become also intelligent. You become better at reasoning. You understand things. You become more aware. Because I mean, frankly, when you look around there out there, there's a lot of sick people out there that have a lot of, you know, emotional and psychological problems on top of their physical issues as well. And you kind of, you know, I've noticed this in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, maybe, that it's like, you know, with the combination of the food and the GMOs and the meds and everything else that's going on, people are completely, you know, out of place. They're sick people. And so I think for us to be able to reach some kind of level where we have a better understanding of problem solving, let's say, where we could actually begin to look into what could be done about things like the, you know, Fukushima and radiation, just like you've been doing. But I think on a larger scale, for more creative people to come into the picture, to come closer to something that would, you know, come to look like a free energy device or something like that, I think that we basically need to have a different consciousness, a different type of awareness with us for us to be able to enable that, if you know what I'm getting at, Ken.
Absolutely. And it takes more effort these days to maintain health and happiness and intelligence than ever before, because we're living in such a toxic world with, you know, all these GMO foods. I mean, you can't eat in a restaurant unless it's designated organic and avoid GMO food.
Yep.
You know, it's ubiquitous. And so all of this stuff dumbs people down. It makes them sick. And just the usual toxins that we've known about, pesticides and all those kinds of things, damage the liver and toxify the liver and the body. And so I can tell you right now, a toxic liver will make people angry. It makes me angry if I let mine get toxic. So we have to, and nowadays with all of this fallout, chemtrails dropping on us, we've got to detox on a daily basis. And so things like zeolites and brown seaweed extract and chlorophyll and chlorella and, you know, various things that you can take on a daily basis, that's like, I drink these what I call detox tonics that are a bunch of superfoods and cleansers, and I do it every day, and that way I stay clear and feel good and have energy, and this stuff's not accumulating in my body. And then a couple of times a year I take 3 weeks off and I do a massive cleanse, and I spend, you know, close to $1,000 on supplements, and I just really do a deep detox.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, you don't necessarily have to do it that way. That's the way I do it, because I need to get it done quickly. But you can make your own supplements. This is also something I teach about with fermentation. You can make your own high orma supplements, and you can custom tailor them to heal whatever you want to heal. So if you want to get rid of baldness or wrinkles or weight or cancer or whatever, it's like you can make brews that specifically support that. And it's inexpensive, you know. So yeah, we need to do these things. And I see it all the time, for example, on Facebook, I'm sure you do, where people, there's a lot of angry people, and there's also, you know, there's also a lot of people that are like super reactive, which is so funny. It's like Pavlovian dogs, you know.
Oh, yeah. You push a button and they're off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In Florida, they've got this Trayvon Martin trial that occurred, and I don't even know what all happened with it, because I don't watch TV and I don't read the mainstream news, but apparently this young black kid was killed by this white guy, and there was a trial, and the white guy got off, and so everybody's ticked off about it. But the Justice Department was caught, the U.S. Justice Department was caught, like they've in other cases, paying protesters to stir up crap at the trial and afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like they did with Martin Luther King, just like they did with Malcolm X and a billion other people. And so, you can see on Facebook now all these people just posting all this stuff about, you know, racial stuff. They're pissed off about this. They're pissed off about that. I'm thinking, is anyone going to ever learn from these teachers we've had, like King and Gandhi and others, that it's like, are you going to continue to have these knee-jerk reactions to people jerking you around, or are you going to wise up and realize that, you know, it's divide and conquer?
That's
we gotta stop.
Yeah, we're getting played.
All this nonsense of fighting each other. Yep. Yeah,
that's right. Tell us a little bit more about what, you know, basically this strategy that you're talking about. The people need to wise up. They need to realize how they're being played. But also, on top of this, which is an interesting, you know, connection that you make, that anger is related to things that we hold inside of the body. Literally, we're hanging on to stuff. We're not detoxing, and this toxification is literally making us sour and bitter in a bad kind of way. And this is something that's evident in how, you know, the intense, just violent anger that people have out there these days. And you know, you call it. I mean, it's just look at YouTube. Look at any video and check the comments. And it's very rare that it's actually it's a useful, you know, correspondence happening right there. It's just vile filth and anger, and it's exactly.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I know it's like on my YouTube videos, people will be sitting there. I'll have, let's say, a video about, you know, protecting yourself from EMF from cell phones, and they'll be arguing about the existence of Jesus in the comments. it's like,
keep to the topic, people.
Yeah,
I know.
Wow. This is something I teach in my workshops, is the necessity not just for physical detoxification, but also emotional healing and reprogramming the unconscious mind, because we're all mind controlled. We're all being mind controlled and have been our entire lives through media, through society. And it's not just the soft mind control of marketing and that kind of stuff. It's overt trauma-based mind control that's being used on us. And I teach about this in my workshops. And the way it works is this. It's quite interesting, the mechanism of how these emotional blocks and issues come up. And I kind of discovered this over many years going through a lot of different unusual processes. But I've come to realize that ultimately all of these emotional and mental imbalances come from trauma. And it can either be physical trauma, or it can be emotional trauma, large or small. You know, small traumas accumulate, large traumas, either way. What happens is they hit you in your energetic structure at the subatomic level. So if you, for example, you look at, you know, the atoms that compose your body, those atoms are made out of subatomic particles that are made out of smaller and smaller subatomic particles. And if you continue looking, and in truth, actually, I mean, the old model of the atom with all these particles is nonsense, but we'll just go for it for the sake of argument here. But ultimately, the atoms that compose you, what they're really made up of are energy. And so at this very fundamental subatomic level, you're composed of energy that basically is vibrating, and it coagulates into the physical elements that compose you. And so when you're exposed to an emotional or physical trauma, you will get a twist in that subatomic field or in that structure. I've actually seen this in doing what's called Vipassana meditation, which is there are these meditation centers you can go to around the world. You take a 10-day vow of silence, and you sit and meditate for 12 hours a day, anywhere between 1 and 4 hours at a time. And you go through this amazing process where about half the people that go through this experience, this where you disconnect from your physical body, your consciousness disconnects from your physical body, and you can see the subatomic structure of the body. So when this happened to me, I could see I was floating around in this giant shell that was shaped like me, and it was this sea of purple and white and red particles, brilliantly lit, just glowing bright. It looked kind of like when you have a television set, an old CRT television set turned on with just static. It looked like that, but it was brilliantly lit, purple, white, and red. And as I'm floating through this, during this meditation, I come across this pinch in the field. It looked like when you put a magnet up to an old TV set and it bends the picture around the field of the magnet. Mm-hmm. It looked like that. And I just thought to myself, I don't like the way that looks. And the moment that I thought that, it disappeared. And the moment that it disappeared, all this pain that I had in my back and my butt and my legs from sitting there for 4 days straight in the lotus position, all that pain went away. And you could have hammered a nail through my hand or cut me with a knife, and it wouldn't bother me one bit because it disconnected somehow all my pain centers. And so I realized, for one thing, that when you see these swamis and gurus laying on beds of nails or getting frozen in a block of ice and those kinds of things, what they're doing is they're going into this meditative state and disconnecting their consciousness. So this process, allowed me to see that what that pinch in the field was is a twist in the field that comes from trauma. And so when you encounter a big trauma, you get a big twist. When you encounter a small trauma, you get a little twist. But they all have a polarity and a frequency. And so when you have traumas of similar types, they will have similar frequencies, and they will bundle together and create bigger twists in your field. And all those together, they combine, and they affect your feelings around the kinds of events that created those twists, those traumas. And so that affects your feelings about things unconsciously, at an unconscious level. And that affects your behavior and your actions. So you have this cascade of trauma and then affecting the feelings around it. That affects behavior, and then that creates your reality. And so if you don't clear that emotional stuff and that stuff in your field, then it's going to affect you, and over time it's going to affect you more and more, because throughout life you're going to accumulate more and more of these traumas. And that's why you tend to see older people, at least I do when I'm working with people, I see a lot of older people who have a lot deeper issues than younger people. It's because they've accumulated all these emotional traumas over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So just as it's important to do physical detoxification, it's very important to do emotional detoxification. And then because of all the programming that we have, you've got to change the programming in the unconscious mind. Now, the unconscious mind is basically just a video recorder that records your entire experience, and it plays back when it's triggered by the conscious mind. The conscious mind navigates you through day-to-day life and gets you through your business of day-to-day living. But the unconscious mind is sitting in the background constantly affecting your actions and your feelings and beliefs about stuff. And so this is why you see all these automatic reactions from people when a particular subject is brought up to them. It's like knee-jerk reaction because they've got this unconscious programming. So you can clear that unconscious programming through various techniques, meditation, and this Vipassana meditation is particularly good for it. Landmark education is another phenomenal one. But there's different techniques you can use to clear that. And it's like learning an instrument. You use repetition to release the old unconscious beliefs and program in new ones. And of course, the powers that be know this, and that's why you're constantly being bombarded with all of this disempowering information everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through television, the media, through movies, through religion, sports, all of these different things that keep people locked into this version of reality that keeps them disempowered and angry and fighting each other instead of looking at who's really jerking them around.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It sounds a little bit, I haven't looked into it that much, but I just kind of heard about it on the surface a little bit, German New Medicine, that basically this idea that all disease is kind of unprocessed emotional trauma that actually manifests in the physical bodies. You get these kind of basically energetic knots in there, and if they're not, resolved, they'll lead to more and more issues later on down the road. So it's maybe there's some connection with that. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it sounds like it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you study epigenetics, which, Dr. Bruce Lipton and others, there's a wonderful book called Genie in Your Genes. They're showing scientific proof of this. They're showing the mind-body connection where it actually occurs. And, for example, Bruce Lipton, he's looking at cells with electron microscopes and seeing that there's this field that affects these proteins that stick up on the membranes of cells, and those proteins act like antennas, and they pick up the field that's surrounding them, and that dictates cell function inside of the cell. Well, it turns out the field that's affecting them is human consciousness. And so, you know, depending on your mental state and where you're at, your emotional state, all of that's affecting every cell in your body. And so, yeah, absolutely. There's the cool thing is there's lots and lots of scientific evidence for this now if you just know where to look.
Well, indeed. So what would you say then about if we, you know, fixing the physical body with supplements, eating right and everything, that's, of course, essential. But is that not the root of the issue and the problem then, really? There's other things that needs to be dealt with on a more, psychological and spiritual level for us to get well as human beings?
Oh, absolutely. The emotional, mental stuff is the most important because really that's where probably 90% of the battle is. When I used to do individual consults and people would come to me with major illnesses and they would normally they would say, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, to heal this cancer or whatever. And then I would say, okay, well, you got to do this, this, and this. And sometimes they would say, I can't do that. And it's like, well, you just said that you would do whatever. And then other times, you know, people would say, I'll do whatever it takes, and then they would go home, and then they wouldn't do it. And it's because of this programming of these emotional states. So absolutely, emotional healing and reprogramming of the unconscious mind are the most important things towards changing your physical health and being happy and healthy. And when you've spiraled into a pit of pain and misery, it can be very difficult to see your way out of that. And so, you know, it's always important to get outside help from people that, you know, are good at that to help that.
Yeah, indeed. What would you suggest for people to do to get into balanced state? Everyone is different. They'll be in a different stage in their life and what they're struggling and dealing with, of course. But is there anything that you recommend for people to kind of try to get some kind of, you know, balance into their lives to take back control primarily? Because what happens in a lot of people is that they kind of give up to the circumstances, if you will, and they feel either like a victim or they don't want to help themselves, basically. And when you're in that stage, it's very difficult to get yourself out of that.
Yeah, and there are lots of things you can do. And the great thing is the most powerful ones are the simplest and least expensive. It's just that they're also the hardest to do. And so sometimes people will balk at it. But a simple thing that you can do is get out in nature. You know, get out in the sun and out in nature, because nature is the program that heals us. We're designed to be in nature. I mean, even the wavelengths of light coming off of plants has been shown to heal people. So that's a simple one that anybody can do. Then, as I mentioned, Vipassana meditation, when people come to me and they say, I'm broke, I don't have any money, I can't afford to go to this class or that class, I go, no problem. Go do Vipassana meditation because it's free. And their website, by the way, is dhamma.org, dhamma.org. That means, I believe it means law of nature in Hindi. But this was a technique supposedly that Buddha used to attain enlightenment, and it's very, very simple, where you sit and you just observe your breath coming out of your nostrils, and that's all you do. And you do that for, you know, 12 hours a day, day after day. Ultimately, what winds up happening is at first your mind is so accelerated and scattered, you can't focus for more than 30 seconds on anything. You know, just go home and try this, you know. Just sit and observe your breath for 30 seconds. See if you can keep it a minute. You probably can't before your mind is wandering. And so you have to slow the mind down and heal the mind and get it to where it can focus. And that's what this Vipassana technique does. But then through that process, I don't even really understand it, but you wind up releasing all kinds of stuff at this subatomic level. And so people go in and they're angry, they're bitter, they've got the crust of the world on their face. And when they come out, I mean, I've seen hundreds of people, they come out and they're just happy to be alive because they realize that all the stuff that they're angry or worried about is nonsense. And so that's a simple one you can do. They give you a place to stay, they feed you, they put you up for 10 days. All you got to do is sit on your butt and observe your breath, and it's free because your space that facility in this meditation center has been paid for by previous students who got enough out of it that they were so grateful that they donated money to pay your way. which is a brilliant business model. So the whole thing is funded by volunteers who have gone through the process. And I can tell you, when I went through it, the times that I've gone through it, my wife and I were happy to donate enough for four people, for each of us to go through it. It was like some ridiculous amount, like $18 a day or something like that, that it actually cost them. So you cannot object to that. You know, some people will say, oh, 10 days is too long. I can't. It's like, okay, if you don't have 10 days, then cough up $500 or so, and you can go do Landmark Education. There's another one that is absolutely phenomenal for quickly changing this unconscious programming and releasing trauma and getting you on your way. You can go to landmarkeducation.com. You can check them out. They've got classes all over the world. And in 3.5 days, you can be a different person if you go and participate. And that's the key. They have this amazing process that was developed by this brilliant man named Werner Erhard, who ultimately was run out of the country by the U.S. government because he was empowering so many people. But they have a process where you're immersed, you know, from like 10 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night in this process for clearing emotions. And it's absolutely amazing. You basically sit and listen to a teacher, and then you share with others what you're getting out of it. And if you actually do that and you go through the process that they recommend and you participate rather than just sitting there like a bump on a log, you'll have profound changes in your life. And so those are two of my favorites that, you know, will rock your world. And then there's, you know, the old tried and true methods. You know, Kundalini yoga is another favorite one where you're sitting. You don't have to have any kind of physical stamina to do this. You can be an invalid because all you have to do is basically sit and envision running energy up and down your spine and throughout the body, and that will physically heal things. It will alter the matter in your body. Consciousness has the ability to alter matter, especially in the body. And you know, this has been shown over and over again with these various techniques. And I met a woman recently who had some major health problems and healed it just by sitting there running energy up and down her spine and visualizing it. So Kundalini yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, all of these types of practices that work with consciousness and energy, what you're really doing is using the scalar wave generator in your body called your brain and your nervous system to manipulate the scalar energy all around that's flowing in and out of your physical structure and restructure the matter in your body to a healthy, happy body and consciousness. And it's been around for thousands of years. It's proven. You know,
yeah,
and it's free, and you can learn it yourself and do it. So,
would you say, Ken, that this is for practically any disease or ailment that you might suffer from?
Absolutely,
and, yeah,
absolutely. You know, between that and devices, like there's a magnetic sleep device, a magnetic mat that is far beyond anything I've ever seen with magnetics. If you go to magnetosleep.com, just magnet. ICOsleep.com. This doctor has this magnetic bed. He figured out that depending on what hemisphere you're living in on the planet, you need to have a certain polarity of magnet. So he built these beds a certain way, and they're doing things like having organs grow that didn't exist before. Like, I was told about one girl who was born without a brain stem. She had a brain and a spine, but no brain stem connecting the two, and by sleeping on this mat, regrew her brain stem and became normal and is now holding a job, supposedly. So, so when you understand between, doing these things like meditation and visualization and in these tried and true techniques that are known for this, and then these other devices to aid us along our way, absolutely, there's, you know, just about anything can be healed, maybe everything. It just takes understanding how to do it and doing what it takes to get it done.
Yeah. You know,
many people are so sick and hurt and in pain that it's like this huge mountain they have to climb, they think. And so they'd rather die than make the attempt a lot of times.
Well,
for those who are willing, you know, the solutions are out there. They always have been, always will be.
Why don't we talk a little bit about your experiences with Martin Luther King and what happened to to him, basically. You have some interesting information about his assassination, and there has been some new stuff coming out as well, actually pointing to this as well. But you, the bottom line is you worked with some of the kings, their family, directly as you were helping one of the family members to heal, I believe. So tell us a little bit about this, Ken.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it's getting out into the at least alternative press now, because for many, many years it was completely hidden. But back in the 80s and 90s, I started hearing about this. There was a magazine called Media Bypass Magazine that was published by the former director of the Los Angeles branch of the CIA, and he had retired, and he was publishing this magazine, spilling all kinds of information and secrets about what our government was doing. And I remember, it must have been in the maybe mid-90s, he came out with an article about the King assassination. And apparently they had interviewed this guy named, calling himself Rob Boole, who claimed to be one of two hitmen that was hired, the actual gunman hired to shoot King. And he basically detailed this whole story of how the government wanted King dead, partially because he was planning on having a million-man march on D.C., where he called it the Poor People's March, where he was going to go across America for several months collecting poor people and marching them to D.C., and then march with a million poor people on Washington, D.C. And apparently, according to what this article and other people I've met said, the U.S. government was terrified that he would actually be able to overthrow the government. And so that was one of the motivations behind killing him. Another motivation was that apparently King was going to run as Bobby Kennedy's vice presidential running mate in 1968.
Huh.
And so King, really? Yeah, that's, and doesn't that make some sense? You know, it's like, he was killed in April of 68 and Bobby Kennedy was killed in June. So, yeah. You know, kind of makes sense when you put this into a different perspective. So I had, you know, I'd read that article and always wondered, I thought, wow, that's a pretty fantastic story. And then in 2005, I had the opportunity to work with Coretta King and the King family, because, I was actually at, a natural health center in South Florida, taking a 9-week course. So I had shut my business down to do that. And I got done with the course and came back home. And about 5 days later, I got a call from them and they said, we have a VIP that needs your help. You know, can you go to Atlanta and work with this person? I said, well, who is it? And they said, Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife. And I said, absolutely. And I hadn't started my business back up. So I just left it. And I wound up interviewing with the family a couple of times, which was very interesting, because one of the things that when I work with individuals, I don't just look at the surface and what they're telling me. I also intuit a lot of stuff, and I get downloads from my guides that tell me what's really going on. But also you can look at a person's illness and you can see from what is physically manifesting what's been going on emotionally, because all physical ailments always start in the emotions and the mind, and then they manifest physically because we create our reality.
Yeah.
And so she had had a stroke and she had ovarian cancer. And so I said, well, you know, the stroke, it was obvious to me from interviewing with her that she could understand everything that was going on around her. She just couldn't speak. And so the more that I got to know them, the more I realized that she had manifested the stroke to get out of her role as a civil rights leader, because she just wanted to be, you know, a person again. She had given up a career as a professional singer to become the civil rights icon, and she absolutely loved being surrounded by musicians and artists, and she was longing for that. And she also just wanted to be with her family again. She wanted her family to be together, and just spend time with them. So she just wanted to have a simple life instead of this, you know, busy, busy life as a civil rights icon. So you manifest a stroke, you can't talk, but you can understand everything, and then everybody, nobody's going to expect you to go out and do public presentations. And then also, when the reproductive systems of a body are affected, it's always got to do with children and reproduction and family issues. And so when I was interviewing with the family, I just told them this is what I see going on. And apparently they knew some stuff that I didn't know, which I discovered later, that I was right on the money. And so they hired me, and I worked with her for a couple of weeks and did my best. But by the time I got to her, she really couldn't eat. And if you can't eat, then you can't get, you know, the physical stuff in the body to heal. And so ultimately, I worked with her for a couple of weeks, and then trained her staff and her family and how to do this lifestyle and things that would support healing.
Mm-hmm.
But then ultimately, she wound up going to a clinic in Mexico. And at first, she did really well down there, but then all of a sudden she died. And so when it got into the newspapers, you know, it was blatantly obvious to me what happened, because it was portrayed, well, somebody in the United States government contacted somebody in the Mexican government, and they went to the clinic and they tried to shut them down, and the only thing they could find to do that was some machine that they had didn't have an up-to-date license on it. So they shut the place down for a week until they got the license renewed. In the meantime, you know, they portrayed it in the media that Coretta King goes down to some crazy, you know, off-the-wall natural healing center and dies. And
yeah.
You know, they made it sound like they killed her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, they featured in the articles that this place was shut down by the Mexican government immediately, and of course they don't mention the reason why it was shut down.
Yeah.
But in the course of working with them, you know, I saw that, first of all, that the King family were absolutely wonderful, and they truly embodied what we would hope they would, which is the principles that Martin Luther King taught. But also, in the course of all of that, because I had been exposed to this information about what really went on with King's assassination, and also that there was a trial. There was actually a trial that the Kings had initiated a civil trial when they had lots of evidence, and particularly Dr. William Pepper, the lawyer for James Earl Ray, the assassin, the alleged assassin, I should say.
Yeah.
He had lots of evidence, and that kept mounting over the years, that Ray didn't do it, and, you know, eyewitnesses to things that did occur. And so he kept trying to get the trial opened. Well, actually, there never was a trial. He kept trying to get a trial. Ray was actually thrown in jail. There was never any charges filed against him, and there was never any trial, which is amazing. And so Pepper kept trying to get a trial, and he couldn't. And so finally this Raul guy comes forward to them and says, I was one of the assassins, and I was mind-controlled, and I didn't know what I was doing, and now I've broken my programming, and I can tell you about it. And he did. And so the King family themselves attempted to pressure the U.S. government to open up a trial, and they still couldn't get anywhere. And so they wound up having a civil trial, and they filed a civil trial, and it was proven in that trial who killed King and why. And the transcript of it you can actually see on the King Center's website. I believe it's kingcenter.org or thekingcenter.org. Or you can just Google it. Just Google Martin Luther King trial transcript and you'll find it. InfoWars recently, they published the article with, or they published the transcript with a really good article explaining and describing it. I think it was very accurate from everything that I saw. And there are others who have reposted that transcript now. And I've heard some radio programs that are talking about it. So it's starting to get out of what really happened with Martin Luther King. His family tried to get it out. His brother, who was an Olympic medalist swimmer, attempted to get the truth out. And he was assassinated, drowned in his own swimming pool at his own home. and then I think King's mother, was shot in church. She was trying, you know, some supposed, you know, lone gunman comes in and just shoots her right in church. She was attempting to get the information out and have it investigated. So, you know, after a few deaths like that, the King family, you know, they just stopped trying, with the exception of this trial. And, I mean, you have to keep in mind that the King children, their house had been bombed at least once or twice, and they were very traumatized from that.
Yeah.
And so they were very brave to speak out at all. But, you know, you can read that trial transcript, and it's mind-blowing. Essentially, they had two CIA mind control subjects that were the trigger men, and the one that actually pulled the trigger even got on British television, apparently, and admitted that he did it, and then later recanted. And, of course, and then the trial itself was publicized on British TV. I mean, it was on British TV and American television once, and then never again. And of course, that is never, ever, ever mentioned in any PBS special or any of these nonsensical, you know, MLK, you know, holiday specials every year. It's just ridiculous. So you can read that. It's mind blowing what came out in that trial.
Yeah.
There were also apparently a CIA SWAT team or some kind of SWAT team. It might have been the Dallas police backing up the two assassins. And then there were multiple witnesses to it. And then the girlfriend of there was a cafe nearby where the cafe owner was a sympathizer against King. And so he harbored the gun and sequestered it away. And so the girlfriend witnessed him doing that. So all the stuff came out in this trial, and since it was a civil suit, you know, people were trying to say that, oh, the Kings are just trying to get money out of this, you know, and so they settled for $1 and then did their best to get it publicized, and of course the media wouldn't pick it up, and so it remains buried, with the exception of these alternative news sources now that are bringing this out. But you know, your listeners are much more savvy than the average Joe Sixpence out there, but you know, people need to understand that we're living in a completely fabricated reality that is absolutely nothing like the truth. There are wonders beyond imagination in this world, and things that most people wouldn't believe that are existing on this planet, and I've seen a lot of them. And we've got to break out of this mind control programming of this reality that we're built into, with this whole nonsensical American consumption reality, and empower ourselves and create a whole different reality. But so, you know, whenever I see anything like these Sandy Hook, for example, the Sandy Hook shootings, you know, lo and behold, there's connections to a mind control facility in Connecticut, and it just so happens that J.D. Salinger, who was the author of A Catcher in the Rye, worked at that facility, and he was known intelligence agent. And guess what? Come to find out, Catcher in the Rye is full of CIA mind control triggers. And guess what? Several different assassins, famous assassins, like John Hinckley, who attempted to kill Reagan, and Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon. Guess what they're found with after the assassination?
Catcher in the Rye.
They're reading Catcher in the Rye.
That's right.
Reinforcing their programming. So when you start to learn about mind control and all of this stuff, these false flag events become obvious when you understand the techniques of mind control. And so people really need to learn about mind control and break their own programming through these various methods. And then you can see through all of this nonsense.
Well, indeed. I mean, it's well said, and I think that the main, you know, thrust of this here is to start to, and we talk about this all the time on the program too, how important it is to generate our own, you know, reality in that sense. Or, you know, this comes in different shapes and forms and versions, but basically anti all the different versions of, you know, collectivism and cults and whatever else that's available out there, because ultimately it's taking you off your own path as an individual of where you need to be and what you need to do in you know, in this life. And it sidetracks people, and spending so much time on these nonsensical issues and problems and everything else when the most important person, you know, in that sense, or our own quest, if you will, in this life, that's what should matter to people, and then to focus on our own life and where we want to go to it. So it's a point well taken, Ken, and it's difficult for a lot of people too, I think, because they're obsessed with finding out, you know, what's up with the world and how to fit in and everything, and how to, you know, how to be cool, or how to you know, get accepted or liked or everything else. But at the end of the day, none of that really matters, you know. It matters only what we've managed to do in our lifetime, and what we've been able to learn, you know, as individuals and everything. And I think, you know, always stress this, but the most important thing is for people to get in touch with what they truly want to do in life, and learn to follow their own dreams and their desires, if you will, you know?
It's very true, and people often ask me, you know, aren't you worried about this? Aren't you worried about that? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I'm not, because I create my reality, and I've done enough experiments to know I truly do. But a rule of thumb that I tell people, that you can tell whether the message is one to pay attention to or not, is, you know, is it empowering the individual, or is it making you dependent on somebody or something else? You know, if it's putting the burden of your creation on you, and empowering you to be responsible for yourself, then, you know, you're going down the right path. If it's making you dependent on somebody or something else, particularly if it's expensive, then it's probably not the right path. So the rule of thumb is, if the things that are the most empowering are usually the least expensive ones, but they require you to take responsibility for yourself and not be dependent on somebody else, something else. There's always help that you can get from others, but ultimately, if the message is one that's making you rely on somebody else, particularly in the long term or something else, then it's a disempowering message. And so in my, you know, I sell things to help people along their way, but I also teach people how to make things and empower themselves so they don't have to buy things from me. And so that way they have a choice. And that's the rule of thumb, really, for me, is when I look at the message, is this making me dependent on somebody else, or is it empowering me to be my own person?
Yeah, definitely. Very good. And of course, it's really helpful what you do offer on the website, because a lot of people don't have the time or the means or even the energy to do all these things. So what you do have on the website is some great stuff. And I mean, I recommend those rest shields wholeheartedly, because there's some, you know, magic stuff happening there, and I really like them. But why don't we again, before we wrap things up here, then end with you giving up your website, and if there's anything else that you have, you know, available that you'd like to mention or give out, or if you have anything you know, else upcoming in the future here.
Okay, well, my website is freshandalive.com. My blog is beyondrawfood.com, and what I have upcoming in the next week or two, we'll be coming out with a little kit that you can attach some little blocks to your blender with a Velcro strap, and you can form this in your blender and drink the, you know, water or juice or whatever you have, or feed it to plants or ferments. So that's coming out soon. I'll have my 2-day intro workshop on all this kind of stuff, on how to maintain health, coming out in the next month or so. I'm also going to be, I'm testing right now the Miracule water system. And so, it's looking very promising. That's the system that actually imparts Ormus into the water and makes it bioavailable. And so, if that all pans out the way I think it will, then we'll be coming out with that. I'm also looking at an Ormus supplement that, may have some amazing healing properties. So if that pans out, we'll come out with that. I will be doing more public speaking this fall, 2013 and beyond. You know, if you're interested in having me come and speak somewhere, just drop us an email or let us know, and you know, we can set something up. Let's see. I'm also on Facebook, so, you know, you can see my posts. And that's probably the best way to get regular nuggets of information out of me, because I don't always have time to post a blog article, but I'm on Facebook quite frequently, posting all kinds of interesting stuff. So yeah, that's where I'm at. And I will have more classes and things coming up, and retreats as well, because what I'm finding is that there's so much stuff that people need to know about. I really need to take 5 to 7 days and just do a retreat and have people immersed in it and live it and eat the way that I eat, and so that they can experience it and realize that it totally transforms them when they experience it.
Very good. Freshandalive.com, and you have the social networks links to Ken's stuff right there on the website as well. And by the way, I'm going to have that Martin Luther King trial transcript linked up as well, so you guys can click through and read some of that stuff for yourself. Well, thank you so much, Ken. This has been great. A lot of different topics, very useful tips, helpful and interesting material, and we have thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you again, Ken, for coming on with us.
Well, likewise. Thanks for the opportunity. It's always a pleasure.
And that's our program for today. We'll be back with Scott Onstott next day. Great program, so don't miss that one. In the meantime, we do say thank you for listening, for your support, and for your membership with us. Have a great rest of your day or evening, and we'll talk to you in just a few days. Take good care.